there'll be no guidance in them. I think that says a lot about the 21st century, this kind of cafeteria-type Muslim, right? It's very serious. I think there's a crisis there, and I'd like your take on it, sir, immediately.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. What I said was that, when we were talking about Imam, is that he insisted on having the Islam as the complete package that it is.
Exactly.
Not, you know, canceling things out for various reasons, whether it was the issue of Islamic punishments, hudud and qisas, as it came to
absolutely
criminal offenses, which is what some people were trying to do after the revolution, even who people who were Muslim and who prayed and who...
Because it said it wasn't modern.
Because, well, they actually had a more specific reason. They said it's against the charter of human, UN Charter on Human Rights. And, you know, he just said anybody who says that is a kafir. End of the story.
End of the story.
Right? Yes. And so, basically, what I'm trying to say and what I think is important is that, you know, when you want to be Muslim, again, this is not about implementing it all yourself to 100% and all.
No, that's not what we're talking about here.
It is about implementation. So Islam is not just about, you know, knowing the rules or just knowing the aqaid. It's actually implementing Islam in your life.
Yes.
You know, to the extent that you are capable in terms of who you are in society and your position and your capabilities and your level of knowledge and so on.
If you have faith in something, it has to have a manifestation.
So we talked about how there's a big difference between somebody who acknowledges all of Islam the way it is in the Quran and the way it is in the Sunnah, but says that certain parts of it, I don't have the power to do it.
Exactly.
Versus somebody who outright denies certain parts of Islam, even accepting other parts of it. Or who says La ilaha illallah and, you know, says the Shahadatain and yet, you know, denies things like, well, you know, we really don't have prayers five times. You know, just, you know, every now and then during the day, you know, chill out and think about God, that's enough. So, yeah, I mean, we were talking about the fact that, you know, Islam is a package deal.
Exactly.
And this is important, okay? Don't deny it.
Exactly.
As a package deal. It doesn't mean you have to implement all of it yourself in your personal life as an individual or that you have the capability of doing it. That's not what we're saying. We're saying don't deny it as a package deal.
Well, this is why, we have this facility, if you like, within Islam to have the complete package, which is your oath of allegiance, isn't there? Because this bayah is not simply about, just for the sake of saying, well, you know, I acknowledge you as a leader or something to that effect. Because in Islam, it means something entirely different. This is a manifestation of your belief,
right,
so that you're covered. You're basically covered.
Right.
You know, it's like, in terms of law, you know, I don't have the Latin, but you know exactly what I'm referring to. So, you know, this is what we're seeing here. You know, that's something entirely different from somebody who completely denies it.
Right. So the important point that I'm trying to make and that I want to point out is that, you know, you can't deny certain parts of it.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you have to be the one, you know, implementing the hudud or the qisas punishment, or you have to be the one.
No, that's for the state.
Right. That's a different issue.
Yeah.
Just don't deny it. Don't say it's not part of Islam or it's no longer part of Islam.
Yeah. As you said, you know, like somebody who says, well, you know, I deny prayer. I don't think we should pray five times.
Or, you know, the ritual prayer, that's what I'm talking about.
Exactly.
Or that says, no, what it meant in the Quran and what they mean is that you just, you know, who says you have to do rakat and you have to do ruku and sujood. And, you know, don't deny it. That's
very
the
good
point.
Very good point.
Even if you're not going to do it, don't deny it.
Don't deny it.
Okay? Because that is part of Islam.
It is.
Okay? Just like, you know, jihad is part of Islam.
Exactly.
Don't deny it. Don't say, you know, we don't have jihad in Islam. We do have jihad in Islam. It's on the same level as prayer
and all the other.
If you want to take it from the other side, don't deny that there is, you know, zakat and khums.
Khums.
Okay? Don't deny it. You might not pay it.
But it's there.
But it's there. Don't say it's not there.
No.
Okay? So this is the point, and this is the beautiful thing, one of the beautiful things about Imam. Is and this is the job as somebody who's a religious leader,
yes,
especially in the Qibla, is to point out to people where they are, you know, not where they're starting to, you know, stray from the path.
Yes, exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
That's his job. It's his job to say to you, you know what? Your interpretation that, you know, we don't have to have qisas and hudud because of the Charter of the Human Rights, your understanding of Islam is an incorrect one.
Exactly.
That's his job.
That's his job.
He has to say that to you.
Mm-hmm. He has to correct it.
Right. Because that's not, you know, it doesn't say you do qisas and hudud or you execute a murderer, you know, if the UN approves. That's not what it says in the riwayat.
That's right.
Right.
That's a very good way of putting it. Exactly.
That's not what it says.
No,
that's not what it says in the Quran.
I didn't see, you know, like Alif Lam Meme and then UN.
Right.
No, it doesn't work. Like
yeah,
that.
We don't have Surah UN, right?
Don't have
right. So
right.
You know,
yeah.
Of course, you do maslahat. You do
exactly.
you try to work, you know, with the realities that exist in the world at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't deny, you know, a basic aspect of your religion.
Well, I mean,
and you see, this is the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Laws, ahkam, are a basic part of Islam.
Exactly.
Anybody who denies them as a concept or individually
is out of the pale of Islam.
You can't deny it. Ahkam.
No.
This is the problem that we have. Our view of religion is so influenced
ignorant.
By the Western.
Yes, that's true. It is influenced
and by this
much,
kind
yeah.
of neutered.
Neutered. Yes.
You know,
I like that word.
Christian.
Yeah.
In the last couple of centuries, the way it became, of where secularism took over, and you know, Christianity was just, you know, on Sunday, and if you just be a good person,
yeah,
and you
yeah.
know, don't get too involved about laws.
Mm.
You know, that's where the Jews, that's the Old Testament, we're New Testament, you
yeah.
know, that kind of stuff.
Not sure.
Okay?
Yes.
As though, what, the Ten Commandments are not?
You know? Yeah, I'm not applicable anymore.
Right, I mean,
yeah.
I'm just saying as an example.
Yeah,
right?
Of course. I mean, that's what we're saying.
You know that usury is illegal in according to the Bible?
Of course it is.
Right.
And so is drink. So is alcohol as well. I've seen passages where, you know, it is said that anyone who drinks alcohol or practices usury or gambling shall never enter the kingdom of heaven. Never.
Okay.
Okay, so it's real serious stuff here. You know?
Yeah, it's not like, you know...
Yeah, it's not like a...
Well, by the way.
Yeah,
well,
by the way. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Okay, you know that according to the Bible, you have to forgive all debts every 7 years?
Exactly.
Did you know that?
Thank you. Yes.
If somebody owes you money after 7 years, you have to forgive them.
You have to forgive them, yes.
Yes?
That's wonderful, isn't it?
You know, we have it.
I hope my 7 years is up now.
You don't owe me anything.
Thank you.
Right, yes, I forgive you.
Thanks very much indeed, sir.
So,
you know, there's great benefit in discussing this subject, yes.
So.
Exactly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You can't deny laws from religion. You can't separate laws from religion.
No.
A big part of religion, all religions, is laws.
Laws.
Now, what happened in Christianity in the West is that they tried to separate it.
Yes.
And say, well, that part is the state and Caesar.
Mm.
Unto Caesar, what is Caesar?
Unto Caesar, that's a very...
you know, whatever, all that
famous
stuff.
Misquote of
right.
Prophet Jesus, peace be upon
right.
him. Because I'm sure he never said such a thing.
Right.
Yeah.
And so the point is that when a person like Imam comes, and again, for us, in Ghaibat Kubra,
yeah.
in the period of the greater occultation, his word is authority. It's
Hujjah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, because I want to quote a verse from the Quran.
He's our religious leader.
Exactly. We want to quote a verse from the Quran here, which makes it clear cut. If you have a problem, you have to obey God, you have to obey the Prophet, and you have to obey those who have authority over you.
Right. Which in our case, in
our cases,
we're talking about people who have authority in line of God and the Prophet.
Prophet, exactly.
So it's not whoever has authority over you,
yeah,
which
exactly.
is unfortunately one of the ways that some of the
get
Muslims
are
interpreting that. I'm
misabusing this, yes.
You know, you can't follow God and the Prophet and then somebody who is the polar opposite of that.
The polar opposite of that,
you know,
exactly.
That God would not command you to that.
No.
This is not what God would say in his Quran.
No.
If he wants you
neither
to follow
mention
you.
The UN either. You know, so, yes.
You know, or you know, whoever.
Whoever.
So, this is one of the great things that Imam was teaching us,
exactly.
and he was able to establish this very firmly, is in an era and in a time where humanity was getting very confused about,
yes,
you know, what is religion?
What is religion?
It's,
yeah.
Is it just this emotional thing, which
mm.
is what Christianity had become, this thing that's just related to, you know, when you feel sad or when you feel happy
mm.
or giving praise and, you know, asking for grace, whatever,
mm.
okay? Or is it actually, you know, a package, a real thing that is there to because, you know, we've said this before, and it really is good if we keep reading. What is Islam?
Yes.
Islam is the package the software, the operational program that Allah has given for the perfection of your soul.
Soul. Thank you.
When I mean your soul, that means you, because that's what you are.
Yes, exactly.
This body will go.
Yes.
You know, this body is not you.
No.
It's the vessel in which your soul is developing for the next, inshallah, 100 years.
Yes.
One day it will, you know, turn into dust.
Mm-hmm.
Your soul is eternal.
Eternal.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This is the religious view of a human being.
Being, yes.
And when I say religious, I don't only mean Islam. I mean all those, you know, major religions, Abrahamic religions, whatever you want to call them, monotheistic religions.
Yes.
Even non-monotheistic religions, even some parts of Hinduism, whatever, you are a soul. It's eternal.
That's right.
Okay? This body is a vessel.
It's a vessel.
Okay. So what is Islam? It's Deen al-Haq. You know, it says the religion with God is al-Islam. This is what the ayah says.
Says. Exactly. Exactly.
You know, it says the religion with in the Allah. Right? It means with God.
With God.
The religion with God, one that is with God, is al-Islam. Islam. It's not Islam, al-Islam. Islam.
And this is why we say it's not Christianity, it's Islam.
Right? Because they say, well, totally Islam different. Isn't that a general term? It means, you know, those who submit, isn't that what all religions were? And we're like, yes.
Yes.
If we say Islam in the sense that, you know, those who submit to God, yes. You know, Prophet, you know, Adam, Prophet, you know, Nuh, sure. Prophet Abraham, you know, Moses, Jesus, whatever.
Yeah.
These are all Islam.
Islam.
But al-Islam is this one.
This one, the package.
The one, the final revelation.
Yes.
You know, the Deen al-Haq, which was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in the Quran and in his Sunnah. Okay? Yes. Following Thaqalain.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So, what is this Islam, al-Islam? It is a package for your perfection. Part of that package are rules. Ahkam.
Yes.
As it relates to you as a person, rulings, individual, yes, and as it relates to society. In fact, one of the beautiful things that Imam used to always point out, he said, the relation in among the rules of Islam, and remember, Imam Khomeini was a faqih. He was a legal scholar.
Yeah, legal scholar.
He was a marja.
Yes.
He has books Balayat and books and books.
He was
and
the
books
supreme jurist.
And books as a jurist.
Mm.
So he's not simply, you know, a guy who gets up on the member and, you know, does
which
is not a bad thing. I'm simply saying
But he's the expert.
His field of expertise
was law.
Okay? He's a mufti. He's somebody who issues fatwas.
Fatwas.
Okay? So, a part of that package, a very important part of that package, is laws. And as Imam was pointing out, which is the important thing that we have to remember, is that he said the relation within laws, Islamic laws, the relation between laws that relate to society and laws that relate to the individual is 100-1 on the side of society.
Society, yes, exactly.
Because because of the Western influence and because of, you know, the negative influence that came from imperialism and cultural imperialism, you know, we wanted to turn Islam into what Christianity had become, which is this personal thing, and forget about Islam, the social...
As the social thing.
And the social aspects of Islamic laws. You know, let the government deal with that.
Mm.
You know, the government who will get together in their parliaments and, you know, decide what is... The wise men will get together and you know, tell us what the laws are. And so one day, you know, having two men being married is illegal, and the next day it's legal. Mm. For example. Okay. I'm just giving an example.
Yeah, no, I mean, exactly.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, that's not the case in Islam.
No,
Islam has rules for society. When you have somebody who's a murderer, proven to be so in a trial, where there's, you know, appeals and multiple appeals, and there's strict rules of evidence, and there's all the things that all legal scholars consider to be a proper judicial procedure. After this proper judicial procedure has ended, and there is a final verdict that this person is guilty of murder, then there is an execution.
Exactly.
Okay? And no parliament can change that.
No.
Okay?
Yeah, just because of an election.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, certain definitions of what a family is, those are the definitions of what a family is.
Exactly.
And, you know, I just want to point out here, I think for the people for our listeners in the West and the Western Muslims, this is interesting. We suddenly see everybody going nuts. Oh, no, you know, for example, you know, same-sex marriages. Oh, that's also marriage.
Mm.
So why not, you know, a man and three women? you know, as in the Islamic, or, yes, or exactly. A man and four wives.
Well, why is that?
Again, we're talking about consenting adults, each one choosing exactly. to do this. Not, we're not talking about forced marriages, which is un-Islamic.
Yes.
Forcing anyone into a marriage is un-Islamic. No, it's against Islamic laws, and you will be punished for it.
No, as consenting adults, which is what they refer to in terms of this gay marriage
I'm using the same standard. The same standard.
Mm-hmm. Why is
this bad and that's good?
Good.
They say, well, it's a marriage is between two people. So who said?
Who said?
If you look at the history of humanity,
we didn't have
to. The majority form of marriage has between one man and multiple wives.
Multiple.
That's actually been the main way that people have been married. If you look at throughout history, and if you look at different, groups around the world and groups around, that's actually been the dominant way of having marriage.
Exactly.
And families.
Yes. And the chief normally had the most women.
Right. And that's why Islam came and reduced it. He is reducing it.
He had to reduce it.
Right? It's not about... people are like, why are you guys talking about this stuff? We're talking about the fact that you have this din al-haq.
Yes.
It's a package deal.
Yes.
It's there for the perfection of your soul. Perfection of your soul, a big part of the perfection of your soul relates to your social life.
Exactly.
And your family life.
Exactly.
And how you interact in your society and your community and your nation and the world.
Absolutely.
It's not about you just being in your, quiet corner with your, oil lamp, doing prayers. That's not what it's all about only. Yes, that is a part of the perfection of your soul, doing your ibadat, doing your prayers with God. Okay? But there's other aspects to it. This is where Islam comes in and talks about that. Okay? A person like Imam Khomeini, who is a religious authority, whose word is hujjah in the Ghaybat al-Kubra for us, says, you can't have this you mentioned very nicely, this cafeteria Islam. Let me just explain cafeteria. There's a term in the West called cafeteria Catholic.
Yes.
Because they were referring to Catholics who would, as though they are in a cafeteria where they can pick and choose whatever food that they want and put it on their tray.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's where the expression comes from, is that you go into a cafeteria.
And you just choose whatever.
Yeah, a buffet, whatever
you
want to call it.
Whatever you prefer.
And you just put things on your plate.
And you're
this is what I like from Catholicism. The abortion, let's have the abortion.
Yes.
And so this term came about in Catholicism. You can't be a cafeteria Catholic. It's a full package.
It's a full package.
So you can't be a cafeteria Muslim.
No.
And say, you know what? I like the prayer part. I like the fasting part. I don't like the jihad part. Don't tell me to go to.
Yes.
And it's interesting. We have many ayat where it says, the minute the command of jihad comes to you, you start making excuses. Your eyes start rolling. You get this. These are ayat from the Quran. These are not things.
And doesn't God condemn?
And He says you haven't.
Doesn't He condemn that if you don't turn up in the battlefield to fight for your religion?
Right. He says, the color of your face.
Yeah.
The color of your face changes. You suddenly start making excuses.
I pray to God our faces don't change any color.
Again,
because
I really
want to go 11.
We're addressing this first and foremost.
I really
want to
go
ourselves.
11. I want to get there as quickly as possible.
Well, there might be other battles.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm saying that.
I'm so happy to hear that.
we're addressing this in the first place to ourselves.
Yes.
We're not trying to say that
anyone.
The point is that this is what Imam was teaching us. He was saying that you can't be a Muslim and then deny criminal punishment for a murderer.
That's right.
What does that mean? Okay, and you say, isn't it barbaric?
Eye for an eye go for,
Listen, they go, isn't it barbaric these days? Why can't we just put him in jail?
Come on.
You know what the answer is? What's more barbaric? A person makes a mistake.
Mm.
They're whipped half an hour. You take You whip them.
And that's it.
They go home. Or you take that person, you put them in jail for 2 years.
2 years.
They lose their job. They lose their insurance.
Mm.
The kids without the father. The wife without the husband.
Husband.
Everything, the whole life of the family.
Is
even
ruined.
Even though it's, forget about 2 years, 6 months in prison.
6 months, yes.
The whole life of a family is destroyed.
Destroyed.
Because of the mistake of one person.
That's not fair.
Is that not barbaric?
That is unjust.
What's more barbaric? The person goes, he gets his punishment, he puts on his shirt, goes back home.
Go home.
And maybe the only person that finds out is his wife.
Exactly.
Not even his children.
That's right, because we're supposed to maintain their
honor. Not his dad or his father
exactly.
or his mother or his cousin or, Uncle Lou and
whatever.
Uncle Jim. And
we're supposed to still maintain
Aunt
their
Betty,
honor.
Whatever, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So what's more barbaric?
Mm.
You're ruining the life of an entire family because of a mistake that one person made in the so-called civilized, let's put him in prison.
Mm.
Forget about how long the trial takes. Forget about, exactly. You know, how exactly. everything is...
How torturous is that?
Listen, I'll give you an example.
Please.
There are truck drivers in the European Union, and they're poor fellas. You know, they're truck drivers. You know, they're not like rich guys.
Yeah.
Okay? And they'll go to the different borders, and some of these smugglers will be like, okay, take this amount of cigarettes to this country, because there's different...
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we'll give you this much amount of money if you take it across the border, especially France and Britain.
Britain, yeah.
Because they have different rates.
Yes.
And they get busted. I'm talking about a, you know, maybe a quarter load of cigarettes in a truck. And then the guy they catch him, and the guy goes to prison for a year as a smuggler. Right?
Yeah.
Is this civilized? The poor guy, he might have been desperate to get maybe €1,000 or £1,000.
Whatever, yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
His offense is, you know, cigarettes.
Cigarettes, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not a good thing, but also not horrendous. Not a huge catastrophe.
Catastrophe, yes.
But the law says you have to go to prison for a year or two, at least, minimum.
Minimum, yes.
3 years, 4 years, depending on
and loss of job.
You
loss
lose
of
your job,
job.
You lose everything. Your entire
home
life is ruined.
Ruined.
Is this civilized? Let me give you another example. Because they say, oh, execution, we don't execute anymore. Execution is uncivilized. Mm. It's for animals. Really? The guy in Norway.
Mm.
How many people did he kill?
90, I think.
Whatever.
Yeah.
A lot.
A lot.
40, 50, 60, 90.
90, yeah.
How much did he get?
I think it was 6 years, wasn't it?
20 years.
20 years, yeah.
Three square meals, internet access, TV.
Mm.
You know, jail in Norway is pretty decent.
Oh, is it? Is it? Oh.
You know, most people in the world would like to have that as their house. Right?
Right.
Most people on Earth would like to have Norwegian prison as the house that they live in.
Live in, yes. I'm
okay.
sure they do.
So this hewan, this animal...
Oh, yes. Goes there.
Is going to go for 20 years.
And that's going to compensate...
And you know why? We don't have lifelong imprisonment in Norway. They said it's not civilized to you know, put a human being in prison for his
yes,
whole life.
But what he did was a human, was it?
What about the family?
What about the justice? Where's
what
the
about
justice
the
in that? Yeah, exactly.
What about the
family? What about the 90
what
families
about,
that he's
what
ruined?
What about the mothers and the fathers of those young people that he killed?
Yeah, and are often...
We're not talking about Muslims. Don't think I'm...
No.
I'm
this is not
about,
Muslim.
This is normal...
Yeah, we're just talking about...
As a mother and as a father.
Father, yeah. And the kids that he orphaned. Come on.
What about them?
What about them?
So he's that's civilized. Mm. Not killing him... Killing him is barbaric. Right?
Exactly.
This is the point we're
this
trying to
This is the kind
make.
Of perverse
okay?
world
we've,
we live in.
We've come to a point in this world, and thank God there was people like Imam.
Mm. To put this...
Who
corrected this.
You know, unapologetically,
unabashedly, yes.
were saying, this is wrong,
this
and
is
Islam is right.
Right.
Right? Logically right. What according to human nature
is
right.
right.
What according to human conscience is right.
right.
Not simply because I say so, it's right.
No.
Okay?
That's
we're
true.
Not talking about, you know, this Taliban-style Wahhabi caricature organ-eating, you know, chopping off heads with a sword in the middle of the, you know, town square Islam. That's not what we're talking about.
Yeah.
They would love us. They would love the world to think that that's Islam.
No.
You know, he Imam had this other sentence. We've mentioned it before.
Yes.
You know, so it's so we're talking about the real Deen al-Haq, whether it's is as it relates to these Wahhabi takfiri caricature of Islam, or whether it relates to this kind of wishy-washy Christianity that we have now, or this, you know, crazy kind of Zionist Judaism that we have.
Yes.
Okay, this racist, you know, dry, you know, just purely let's just obey the rules dryly without even thinking about them kind of, you know, Judaism that we have today, which is not the real, you know, it's not the religion of Moses.
That's
the Zionism is not the religion.
No, Zionism is not
you know,
the religion of Moses.
Prophet Musa, peace be upon him, would not approve you, you know, building separate rows for.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely.
For his own children.
No.
Because, you know, Palestinians are, you know,
yeah,
children of Abraham.
Yeah, they are. They're part
right?
of the same progeny.
Right. They're cousins.
They're descendants.
You don't discriminate against your cousins.
No, you don't.
Right? So, this is why we have a person like Imam talking about real Deen al-Haq, about the real religion of God. The final revelation, you know, the real path to getting to God, as opposed to this caricature, as opposed to this wishy-washiness. He had this famous sentence. He said, "We have to make a revolution, so that God forbid people don't think that Islam is like Christianity."
Fantastic.
He said, "We're Muslims. Of course we have to have a revolution.
We,
of course we have to stand up to a, you know, a tyrant and who's being backed by you know a imperialist regime.
Regime, yes.
Okay. Hmm. He said, so God forbid people don't think that Islam is like Christianity.
Exactly.
Okay, we don't want to be like that. We don't want to be, quote, civilized, where a person kills 50, 70, 80 people and then gets 20 years, you know, free meals. We don't want to be a place where a person makes a small mistake, where the father of a family who is trying to support his kids, who is having difficult times. I mean, look at the lives we have today in Europe in terms of just, we've lived there.
Mm.
Just as a man, as a husband, as a father, trying to support your family.
It's
how difficult is it?
It is very hard.
Where you're not cheating, where you're not being,
it's very hard.
Stealing, where you're not doing fraud, you know, where you're not some you know, banker doing billion-dollar trades on the computer and, you know, ripping off the world, you know. Yeah. So the poor guy, he's a truck driver.
And the white-collar crime is never punished.
And they don't get the guy in the city of London or in Paris or in New York who's, you know, ripping off billions.
Ripping off billions.
You know, sending thousands and tens of thousands of people into the poorhouse because of the
and
stuff
making
that
them
he
homeless.
Does.
Yes,
right? And they get the guy who's smuggling, you know, whatever, 20 packets or 100 packets of cigarettes, and they put him in jail for 3 years.
Where's the justice in that?
That's civilized. Yeah. Okay, so that's civilization.
Yes,
we are the barbarians.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
Is that
that's what they want us to think.
Is that the case?
No, it's not.
I would clearly submit that, yes, if you look at the Takfiri caricature, organ-eating, liver-cutting-out Islam, yes, they're no doubt they're barbarians.
Barbarians, yes.
But this, what Imam taught us, this Islam, this complete package, where it includes everything, you know, jihad is not warmongering. Jihad is defending yourself.
Self.
It's justice.
It's justice.
This is what human
defending
nature
your rights.
Does. You defend your family. You defend your home. You defend your city.
Sure.
You defend your nation.
Sure.
Okay, this is what human beings do. Real human beings do these things.
Sure.
So I think that's really the bottom line, that we have to see this as a package. And thank God, we thank God that we have leaders and had leaders like Imam who taught us what real Islam is.
Dr. Mahdi Trabi, thank you very much indeed. On that note, that was a wonderful contribution there. I hope our listeners benefited from what we said, because there were some very, very important points in what you discussed there. But it just leaves me to say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and mercy and blessings of Allah be upon you all. Thank you for listening.
The Light.
Workers digging gas pipes in the Peruvian capital Lima have discovered a cemetery dating back to millennia. Archaeologists have recovered six bodies, including those of children. All of them were buried in a seated position. The site also yielded about 40 burial vessels. The findings are thought to belong to the culture known as White on Red, which settled on the central coast of Peru centuries ago during the pre-Hispanic era.
Often it does not take much to bring about positive social change. In Johannesburg, a group of painters are creating artworks on the trolleys of street recyclers. Reason? To encourage bystanders to look up and notice the work recyclers, locally known as reclaimers, do in the community.
I like my work to have meaning, so when I get to paint and become a part of a project like this, it's great for me, you know, because it's not every day we get to like do stuff like this, so yeah.
Up until now, they were just filthy looking jumbo bags with recyclable waste reeling along the streets. But thanks to graffiti artists who are giving them a makeover with bold and bright designs to help identify and protect the recyclers. Artists say their goal is to build a relationship between neighborhood residents and waste pickers. The reclaimers roam around the city day and night, with some motorists even considering them a risk as the trolleys are not always visible. There are some 6,000 reclaimers in Johannesburg, who make a living collecting, sorting, recycling garbage. It's a messy job, but they do it anyway. A group of women are joining hands to protect one of India's key natural sites that is also on UNESCO's heritage list, the Western Ghats, a mountain chain that's facing severe deforestation. The 27 members of this all-female task force are doing all they can to protect the area's rare ferns, mosses, and thousands of other plants. They're using a variety of gardening tools and techniques to preserve species from all over the mountains. Not only that, but they also make artificial conditions and habitats for endangered species from other parts of the world, mainly those affected by climate change. One of the conservationists explained that what they are doing is actually helping the forest regenerate.
We have witnessed the birth of a forest, and that's a very powerful thing. You know, the mind is filled with the ghastly stories of forests being cut, like the Amazon or like the Western Ghats. But here we're witness to the birth of forests as well. And that is the forest itself birthing itself, you see.
The Western Ghats Mountains are home to nearly 5,000 species of flowering plants, but many of them are globally threatened. Only less than half of the area's flora is currently under conservation. Scientists say the outlook for the mountain is very concerning. Carbon dioxide is one of the causes of global warming, but can we get rid of it to save our planet? A Swiss firm has come up with a novel idea to store CO2 underground and turn it into rocks. Company Climeworks has started operating the world's largest direct air carbon capture and storage plant called Okra in Iceland. Located in Hershey, Okra is entirely run on renewable energy. It soaks carbon dioxide directly from the air and buries it as rocks deep underground to be mineralized. Usually, a natural process takes hundreds of thousands of years to turn the gas into basaltic rocks. But here, it takes up to 2 years for the CO2 to turn into white crystals.
Once the carbon dioxide is captured, it will be dissolved in water, and here we are at the injection site. The carbon dioxide dissolved in water will come through this pipe into the well, where it will be injected into the volcanic rock at a depth of between 800 meters and 2 kilometers.
The plant is said to be removing 4,000 tons of carbon dioxide from the atmosphere each year. The amount is too little to save the planet from carbon emissions, as climate modeling suggests the world needs to eliminate several billion tons per year by 2050. Here we have to take into account the saying of the head of Orca that we have to learn to walk before we can run. Legends never die. So 1 year after his death, Argentinians are remembering their hero on his birthday. And that's no one but their legendary football player, Diego Maradona. It would have been Maradona's 61st birthday this year. People all around the country, including in the capital, Buenos Aires, remembered their iconic figure in ceremonies over the weekend. In the city of Rosario, a giant monument was inaugurated in honor of the football star. You can see on your screens fans gathering there in celebration. They say Maradona's love still runs in the veins of Argentinians. Amsterdam, the capital of the Netherlands, is riddled with waterways through which thousands of boats pass each day. Soon, the city may also be hosting self-driving vessels. Amsterdam's Institute for Advanced Metropolitan Solutions has devised an autonomous boat that can cross the city's busy canals without the help of a conductor. The watercraft, named a rowboat, is the size of a small car. The developers intend to use the boats for tasks ranging from transporting people to collecting trash. They think it can also be used for less conventional purposes, like preventing oil spills or forming a temporary bridge. Amsterdam's authorities are considering locations for a trash collection pilot project starting early next year. One of the disastrous effects of climate change has been the loss of glaciers worldwide. People around the world are trying new ways to tackle this problem. Now, a team of Chilean conservationists have come up with a creative project to protect glaciers and prevent water loss. The project is called Nilus. Winter rains are collected in cone-like structures called stupas. Experts from Chile are using a technology that was first developed in India to make these man-made glaciers. The water is then later used in the dry summer months. Chile has been experiencing a severe drought for years. Nilus director Enrique Gilona says the project hopes to address water shortages in the country.
Here we are not creating new water. Water is something that is in nature already. It has a cycle, but clearly it has been affected by the effects of the great climate change, which we are facing. And we are looking for a solution that actually allows us to protect this water for a longer time in the mountain range, to be able to deliver it downstream toward the communities.
The goal is to store some 100 million liters of water across 50 stupas next year. This would be enough water to supply 100,000 people for 3 months. The first prototype was erected in Park Arenas, an area known for its glaciers surrounding a volcano, the highest parts of the mountain region. Researchers and activists have warned that glaciers in the Andes Mountains have been receding in recent years. They blame climate change for the loss of glaciers and water shortages.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
A photo on social media, an article, or a TV program can all draw attention to climate change. But to a German artist, nothing seems to be as effective as a journey using a giant water ball to make his voice heard. Arndt Drossel started his journey from his hometown Paderborn, West Germany, 3 months ago. The trip has so far taken him through more than 60 cities. He has completed the journey to the Scottish city of Glasgow, the venue of a major UN climate conference. Drossel says he aims to tell people how they can help tackle climate change, now a key global problem. The German artist believes everyone has a duty to solve the problem to help next generations have a good future.
My wife and we have 5 children, and we want to give them a good and happy future. And everybody knows, I think, about the problems our Earth has, and we will have the same problem in several cities and countries.
The German artist says he has encouraged people to make specific promises to tackle climate change. He says his own pledge was to offset all his personal carbon emissions by using the sphere for his journey. Drossel says he will continue his efforts until the promises reach 1 million. Meet Clarion, a homemade polar bear whose mission is to raise awareness of climate change in a 500-kilometer pilgrimage to Glasgow. The 3-meter polar bear is work of British furniture maker Bamber Hoss. The bear weighs 17 kilograms and is made of bamboo, willow, and tissue paper. Hoss started his journey with Clarion from his hometown of Bishop's Castle in England to Glasgow. They accomplished their spectacular journey ahead of the United Nations COP26 climate conference in the Scottish city. Hoss says Clarion is a symbol of melting Arctic ice caps due to global warming.
He's called Clarion. Clarion the bear is not a bear. He is a metaphor. He's a symbol. It is a very obvious symbol that a polar bear represents the Arctic, not the Antarctic, and that is where, you know, some of the problems are with melting ice caps. Not all the problems, because they're elsewhere as well.
Hoss says his aim is to encourage people to pay attention to climate change. Environmental activists from across the UK and elsewhere on the continent have also embarked on a long journey on foot to reach the UN Climate Change Conference in Glasgow. Did you know that animals might have the potential to help tackle climate change? Strange indeed, but that seems to be the case according to scientists. The sheep on a remote Scottish island have a special diet that consists mainly of seaweed. This feature is what scientists are hoping can help reduce global warming. Sheep usually feed on grass, and the process contributes to methane emissions. But scientists say the sheep in Orkneys are unique because of spending the winter eating only the marine plants. Listen to one researcher explaining whether feeding seaweed into the sheep diet can actually help reduce gas emissions.
The main thing at the moment is we need to absolutely prove, one, which seaweed is going to be the best for this, what amount of seaweed into the feed gives the best effect, and then can you scale that up to a level where you would actually have an effect on the overall UK farming?
If proven, the Scottish sheep and their unique diet could lead to a breakthrough in methods for livestock breeding, which is a major source of greenhouse gases. Methane is about 30 times more powerful than carbon dioxide in trapping heat in the atmosphere. The Philippines is among the countries facing a soaring plastic waste crisis. However, a group of recyclers are working hard to tackle the problem, turning the waste into building materials. The group is called the Plastic Flamingo, or simply the PLAF. They gather bottles, single-use sachets, and snack food wrappers. The waste is then shredded and molded into post-add planks that can be used for decking and fencing. Their products are also durable enough to make disaster relief shelters and urban furniture. The group says the coronavirus pandemic has worsened the plastic waste problem, sparking a rush for protection equipment. Their disposal is a matter of concern now.
Because of the plastic problem we're currently facing, the pandemic, the huge accumulation of plastic use, there's also improper disposal. People are unaware on, you know, how do I dispose these plastics? Where do I dispose of them? So at the same time, we give that avenue also that instead of putting it in landfills or oceans in general, you know, you give it to the PLAF, you give it to recycling centers like us, and we would recycle these, upcycle them into better products.
The PLAF says surging online shopping is also another problem that they try to address. The group has collected over 100 tons of plastic waste since it started the business in 2019. However, they still have a lot to do. A UN report says some 300 million tons of plastic waste are produced annually, with South Asian countries accounting for 60% of it.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, this is your host Musa Al-Bahadli, and you are now listening to the program Q&A on Islamic Beliefs. Joining me in the studio today is our dear friend Sayyid Muhsin Naqawi, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qom. Dear Sayyid, I welcome you and Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaykum Assalam wa rahmatullah.
Thank you for joining us, dear Sayyid.
You're welcome. Thanks for inviting.
Our question today is often a concept that is misunderstood, and if understood, is employed in dubious ways and perhaps also manipulative ways. And the question is as follows: what is a true dream? What is a ru'ya in essence? And do we in Islam consider them to be legitimate? Do we believe in them? And what, if we believe in them, are the different types of dreams in the perspective of Islam?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Well, ru'ya, which can be translated, obviously, we have some limitations in English language.
Right.
That we cannot perfectly translate some terminologies.
Closer to call it a vision you see through a dream.
A vision which you see through a dream, yes. Ru'ya is sadiqa. Sadiqa means the true dream.
Right.
Generally, like loosely translated as true dream or true vision, which you see through dream.
Right.
Obviously we have this in the Islam, in the Islamic teachings. And also when we look at the Quran talks about such ru'ya sadiqa. I think it's better to use the Arabic terminologies rather than just saying like
so
true
clear.
Dream. Clear about what we are saying. There are different types of dreams. Generally, if we generally talk about dream itself, not moving towards what we want to talk about.
Right.
Dreams are of different types. Obviously, in today's world, doctors, psychologists, they also have mentioned that, you know, what you see during the day, what you're thinking about it, you dream about it in the night.
Yeah, this is subconscious mind.
It's because, you know, the mind does not sleep.
Right.
And keep working. It keeps calculating things, analyzing things. So for the kids, you know, if they see a horror cartoon or movie at the night, they dream for it.
Right.
If at the dinner time you're talking about a cat who's like 9 feet tall and having big teeth and all those, the kids usually in the nights they will see a dream of it.
Right.
And that was one of the reasons why parents used to, you know, threat them of something,
to scare them,
to
into
scare
obedience.
Them. Why? It's because they will go to sleep soon, but they were unaware of that.
Right.
The kid will see the dream of such thing
yes,
while he's sleeping.
Right.
So,
because according to science, they say it, our mind is in two parts. We have an active thinking mind that we use, and we can feel it, we understand it. It's our inner voice, and we also have the subconscious mind that is constantly working and recording.
Yes.
When we sleep, we turn off the active mind, if I may use this term, and then the subconscious mind has its fun with you.
it's keep going on. Even, you know, if you look at one word, for example, 10 years ago, it is still in your subconscious mind.
Right.
It is there. And maybe after 10 years, 20 years, you just remember a word that you have seen.
Just like memories. If you get triggered by a smell,
so
you suddenly remember.
It's somewhere there in your mind, because
mind
never forgets about it. It's like a... You know, recording tape, which is recording everything, and it can just flashback anytime.
Right.
So generally, the dreams that we have are such thing that we see generally, and that's why they are not the true dreams.
A true ru'ya. Right.
A true ru'ya is kind of a vision that we see through the dream, and we have many examples in the Quran. For example, in the Quran, we have ru'ya sadiq, or true vision dream. There are three types. One is which is very much clear, whose, you know, interpretation is exactly what the person have seen.
Right.
The other type is that half of it is what the interpretation is. Half of it needs something else to add on. You know, once the first category is whatever you have seen. Exactly the same thing is the interpretation. That's the first. The second thing is that whatever you have seen in the dream, half of it is the same thing, the rest will be interpreted. And the third kind of dream is obviously the dream which, you know, you have seen, it was a vision, and then it has its own interpretation.
Right.
You need to interpret it and tell them, like, what does it mean?
You need to go to an expert.
Yes.
Right.
And all these three are there. For example, you know, the dream which Hazrat Ibrahim have seen for his son, that he is slaughtering his son Ismail, alayhi salam.
Right.
In the dream, he has to do the same thing next day. It was a clear message. It was a clear message that you need to slaughter your son. It was an exam or the trial from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah replaced Ismail alayhi salam with the goat for him. And therefore, on the 10th of Dhul Hajj, we slaughter a goat or a camel at the time of Hajj. It's because in the remembrance of what Ibrahim was blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he replaced his son by a goat, and then he slaughtered a goat. That's the first type of dream. That whatever he has seen in his dream, he has to apply the same thing. The other type of dream, which half of that is the same, which you see in the dream, and then half of the rest of it needs an interpretation, we can refer to the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, where the Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam, in his childhood, he has seen that the sun and moon and the stars are prostrating in front of him.
Right.
So the part in which they are prostrating or they're doing sajda to the Yusuf was the same.
It
in
is
reality.
Understood. They are prostrating to him.
It is understood. There is no need of interpretation. The main interpretation was the rest of the half, the first half, that sun, moon, and the stars.
Who are they and what
Who
are
they
and so on.
So there he needs an interpretation where his father said him, like, it's your father and your mother and they're your brothers who will basically prostrate to you. The third type of dream is where we can also refer back to the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, where the king or the pharaoh of the time, the king of the Egypt, he has seen a dream that there are seven skinny cows,
as mentioned in the Quran,
yes, eating the seven healthy cows,
right?
And similarly, you know, seven there were like dried wheats,
right,
that
right.
are eating the green wheats,
right?
So this needed an interpretation, that what's gonna happen,
because it was completely how should we understand this?
Yeah, so this needs a complete interpretation by the experts.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir. Inshallah, inshallah,
inshallah, you'll find your way. Now the question is, who can see these visions or dreams?
Right.
That's the important part, because we're talking about it, that the whole of that, what you see in your dream, becomes a reality. You need to do that.
Right.
Half of it or all of it, there is an interpretation for it. Who sees it? What is the... can anyone see this or no? There is a capability. There is a condition. In the Islamic studies, in the Islamic, we see that the nafsu zakiyah, the purified souls, can see this, like prophets, like infallible imams, like awliya Allah, saints.
Right.
They do see dreams, and through dreams they are basically guided. For example, for the prophets, these dreams, these visions, are the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Right.
Allah reveals upon them through the dream while they are sleeping. And obviously, you know that you have we have read in the history that when prophet used to have a revelation during the sleep, when he was asleep, he used to shake, he was very exhausted, he used to feel cold, and it was really hard for him to bear it, but that was a revelation. So these ru'ya sadiqa can be a wahi, which is revelation,
right?
It can be a guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those who see such dreams are the prophets, they are the infallible imams or the saints, awliya Allah. only them.
Right.
And if there is anyone who has purified his souls, they can also see it.
The awliya of Allah.
From awliya Allah.
The true Shia Muslims.
So this is what we can see like in the history.
Right.
In the Quran, there are many other examples. For example, when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has seen that he is performing the Hajj in the Makkah while he was in Medina, and Makkah was under the control of the polytheists,
right.
He has seen it in his dream. And the next year, he went for the Hajj. He couldn't do it. The year after it, he went, and there was the victory of Makkah,
right.
Without even shedding a single blood.
Right.
He had
Fath al-Mubin, as mentioned.
Fath al-Mubin.
Yeah.
And he had this, victory. And it's in chapter Fath, verse number 27, refers
right.
to this story. And also the Prophet have seen a dream, like it's Surah Isra, chapter Isra, verse 60, is talking about the dream of the Prophet. And there are many other examples, many other
right.
examples that we have in the basically the Quranic teachings. That these things are true, and the only thing is, especially Mullah Sadra also has referred to this as a philosopher, that the purification of the nafs, and with having no love towards this world, makes a person to see the guidance in the dream, which is known as Ru'ya-i Sadiqa, or the
right.
true vision. So this is what is said in the Islamic teachings.
Do we have any narrations about this Ru'ya Sadaqah?
We have many verses in the Quran that are talking about this Ru'ya.
Right.
The way I just gave the example. But the narrations, I haven't seen any narration talking about the... there are like narrations as well. In the Shia narrations and the Sunni narrations that talks about this Ru'ya-i Sadiqa, that but it goes back towards the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he gave the good news of Nabuwwah, the status of being a prophet to the
yes.
prophets in their dreams.
Right.
So even in the narrations, when we look at the Sunni and Shia narrations, when a prophet how a prophet knew that now he has to announce or he's the prophet, it was said to him in the dreams.
Right.
The revelation basically has happened in the dream, and there he has understood like he
right.
is the prophet.
Sayyid, I just have a question, because many people, or I shouldn't say, but some people who arguably we wouldn't call them possessors of a pure soul, like normal people, they also sometimes see these visions. And is that because they have reached some spiritual status, or they have done something good? Or is it no, sometimes seemingly random?
Well, this happens is because of the soul itself.
Right.
You know, sometimes, for example, I might see in the dream that tomorrow I'm traveling in taxi where a person who has, who's wearing a pen coat, for example,
right.
With the red tie and pink shirt, for example, I've
right.
just have seen this usually in my dream, a general dream I have seen. Next day when I travel, I see the same person, and I remember that I've seen him in my dream. What's happening? The thing is happening that we forget about our soul, our
right.
spirit soul. This body is controlled with the time. This body becomes weakened, that we were a child and we grown up, and then we again become weak when we become old. But at the same time, our soul is having a journey with us, and soul is beyond this thing, you know.
Right.
And soul travels faster than what we are doing. Sometimes the soul which is traveling in this world also, it travels through the time. And we see such things in our dreams, because it is said in the narrations as well, there are the verses of the Quran and the narrations, that when it is night time and we sleep, our soul comes out of the body.
Right.
Okay. And it travels. So while it's traveling, it travels through the time. And because the travel of soul, we can see, obviously we can feel it because the soul is my soul.